26, 2013, and it concludes with file number 130108, which is a resolution approving and denying various licenses as indicated. Entertain a motion by Mr. Nutty, second by Milky. Mr. Milky.
Begin voting. That motion has passed unanimously.
File number 120207, it's a resolution of the Capital Improvement and the Street Maintenance Committee approving terms for access to the Holt Krause Athletic Complex. Committee action approved on a vote of 5-0. The fiscal impact is the estimated cost to extend Kent Street is $120,000 and to extend Curling Way is $250,000, with $121,945 being reimbursed back to the city. Entertain a motion. Motion by Wagner, second by Rasmussen.
Begin voting. That motion has passed unanimously.
File number 121109A. It's a resolution of the Finance Committee approving modification of the 2013 budget. Capital project funds is the item we were considering. Committee action approved on a vote of 5-0. The fiscal impact for 2013 is this action will modify the 2013 budget by reestablishing available 2012 capital project expense budgets for $3,851,222. And revenue budgets of $655,575. Entertain a motion. Motion by Gisselman, second by Nutting. Mr. Overbet.
I do have a question on the tax increment district number 6, and it has Thomas Street land acquisition as well as design and environmental impact study, yet the Finance Committee did not recommend TID 6 funding for Thomas Street.
I think that we, first of all, we kind of prepared this before that evolved. This would be, again, the continuation. We don't have another funding source for Thomas Street. We do have a contract, a signed contract for design. I don't know if Brad would want to come in and speak on those costs. The land acquisition, that we've not any outstanding offers, so you could eliminate that, but my concern would be the fact that we do have a contract and an obligation to complete that contract.
Mr. Rasmussen.
Thank you. The CIP committee reviewed and re-reviewed the capital project funds that were set for carryover, approved some, denied some, reduced some, but specifically in that discussion was the intent that the CIP committees wanted to leave Thomas Street land acquisition funds in place because there was at that time no other way to move that contract and some of those processes forward if we fail to budget for that right now.
Mr. Olbeck.
As far as the design, the TID amendment for Thomas Street was approved in 2011. Where was the funding coming from as far as the previous design costs?
It would have came out of Fund 150, the general CIP budget.
So I guess with that, wouldn't that remain in that fund at present? Right now, there is no TID 6 funding for Thomas Street. There are no approved funds from the TID 6.
Sure, we would have terminated that budget at whenever TIF 6 budget amendment or the plan amendment and the budget was created to do the contractual services, then if that contract had been in Fund 150, we would have closed that out at the completion of that year and kind of let those funds flow back to the unreserved capital projects fund balance and then created a budget here. So really, it would be an unreserved capital. capital projects than fund balance. Does that make sense? Dave?
I guess no, because there's no approved funding for Thomas Street as of right now through any committee or through the council. And when I questioned whether there was funding available for Thomas Street, the answer was no, that nothing has been approved other than probably designed through the other fund. So I would assume these dollars would stay in that, coming out of that fund.
That's right. They would stay in that fund and be unobligated then.
So we need to, I guess, amend this carryover to stay within the fund 150?
Okay.
I guess I'd offer that amendment.
Do we have a second? Second by Wagner. Ms. Rasmussen.
I guess before we get to that amendment, based on the discussion and the fact that we are all of these things arose from finance and we are looking at modifying an already approved 2013 budget, we are minus two council members this evening. Would it perhaps be better if we defer action to the next meeting when we have more districts represented to weigh in on those budget amendments for all of the items listed under file number 12-1109? There's four different items, but all of them are modifying a previously approved budget. So I don't know if we want to vote on Dave's amendment first or if we want to hold on that and perhaps look at taking this up when all the districts can weigh in.
What do we do?
Is that in the form of a motion?
It is, but you have to take Dave's first.
We have Dave's on right now. And Dave, I apologize. Can you repeat your amendment, please?
It would be reallocating, I guess, the carryover fund or redefining where that money would be coming from. It would be coming from Fund 150 in lieu of Fund 144, which is the TIF district.
And Mr. Wagner, you did second that? Okay. We do have an amendment on the table right now offered by Oberbeck, second by Wagner, to amend file 12-1109A of the Finance Committee to reallocate the carryover fund and redefining where the money would come from. And with that, you may begin voting. That motion has passed 7-2.
Ms. Rasmussen.
Okay, now that we're past that, I will offer a motion that we take all items listed as file number 12-1109 that have come forward from finance and ask that we defer action on those items to our next meeting so that we can have more districts represented in said vote.
Is that A and B or just A?
It's all four because they're all budget modifications.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, there is four.
Wait a second for Mr. Nutting, I think.
Second by Milky? No, I didn't see either one. Who wants to get it? Second by Milky.
Okay, thank you. So this is to defer the action on all items listed under file number 12-1109A, B, and then the next two items listed thereafter until we have a next meeting with the full council. Or more people, more council members here. And we have that offered. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Nutting hit his button.
Yes, are we affecting anything with regards to the rolling stock one and the general fixed assets? Is there any time-sensitive issues in deferring that one, which is, or the transfer to the airport fund? Do those need to fall into this category also of deferment?
No. Bill's saying it's not going to cause a problem. It won't cause a problem for the airport either.
and the other one, Rolling Stock? Oh, I'm sorry.
We can wait a month.
Okay, thank you.
And that offer was brought forth by Lisa Rasmussen. Who was the second?
Milky.
And with that, you may begin voting. That motion has passed 8-1.
File number 900802 is a joint resolution of the Economic Development Committee and the Finance Committee extending the life of tax increment districts number 2 for the purpose of improving Wausau Central urban housing stock. ED committee approved it by a vote of 5-0. The Finance Committee approved it on a vote of 4-1. The fiscal impact is based on 2013. Tax increment district number 2 has a net worth of $629,068. Entertain a motion. Motion by Rasmussen, second by Wagner. Mr. Winters.
Yes, since I was the low no vote, I suppose I should explain myself. In this case, as you may remember, this is a TIF that I proposed closing last year because the TIF has been done for a while, and had we closed this TIF, the $650-some thousand in increment would be divided up and returned to the general fund. So this is a TIF that's been completed, and all it's been doing for the past couple years is taking its revenue and transferring it to other TIFs to pay for it. And I think to the extent that we continue to do that, we strain goodwill with the other members of the Joint Review Board, the county, the school district, the tech district. Holding TIFs open after they're completed is not a good policy. And it also, truthfully, robs the general fund of $215,000, which we could have in our general fund. It would make that easier to balance. So in that reasons, I voted no against this and will again tonight.
Ms. Rasmussen.
Thank you. I think it's important to realize that in almost every district, regardless of who we represent, there are elements of urban decay and blight that are creeping into those areas. And to divert some of this funding to basically rehabilitation of Central Wausau housing stock in the goal of reducing blight, all of the other tax-collecting entities recognize the issues surrounding urban flight when blight starts to creep into neighborhoods and degrade the quality of those neighborhoods. So I don't feel that we're robbing the other tax collecting entities, nor are we robbing the general fund. I think that if there is a mechanism by which we can redirect some of this funding and address a problem that has been identified by the council, by the community, as a growing ill, I think that it's a very responsible use of this money for us to divert it to this purpose. So I intend to fully support this.
Mr. Overbeck.
I guess I'd like to ask Ann to come up and maybe explain how the money may be utilized within the districts.
As you know, we do have a growing problem of blight in our community, and one of the things that we have been doing, and we have been using TIF funds, especially TIF number 3, is purchasing properties that have been gone so far down to substandard that it is not feasible to even put repairs in it. So we would be looking at foreclosed properties. We would be looking at properties that are completely blighted that cannot economically be improved. We would demolish those buildings. We would create larger lots, and we would be building houses to rejuvenate our neighborhoods and to take back those neighborhoods. And I think that you all know and take a look at the different houses that the city has partnered with North Central Technical College and built houses that match up to the neighborhoods and put families in those houses that keep the neighborhoods up, change the looks. If you take a look over on over in South Fifth Avenue and through that area where Marathon Rubber was and through that area where there have been a number of houses. If you can see the spinoff that has taken place in that area with other houses and homeowners where it might be just a coat of paint, it might be fixing up that porch, but it happens. We see that happening all the time, and those are the types of things that we look at as we go through it. I mean, and you take a look at our Near East Side. We know we have problems with some of the housing over in that area, and we've been looking at the maps. There is a huge overlay of crime and deteriorated, blighted properties. They both work together to bring our city down. We need to change this. We need to change this so that these neighborhoods and these properties become taxable, that they are integrated into the city and become produce those neighborhoods that we're looking for and bring back our inner city. Is that?
Can, or just a follow-up, can you give an example of something that was taken from a foreclosure to a what the value of the property, such as like over by...
I can. If you take a look at Fulton Street, on the corner of Fulton 7th, we purchased a 7-unit, and you can recall, the neighborhood came in here and said, not in my backyard. We put up a 6-unit that looks like 3 separate housing units, and yes, it is still owned by the city. It is bringing in rent. It is a home where we have special needs adults in that building, but it has become a true contributing factor into that neighborhood. And if you start taking a look, there's a couple other projects that have come along where people have come to us and said, because of what you've done here, we're looking at other properties that we can do it. We've had a number of house fires where we have purchased those properties, torn down the buildings, and worked with Fresh Start through the Hmong Association to build new houses, or where we have sold those houses. So a lot that might be worth $15,000 is now generating $147,000 to $165,000 in assessed value to the city of Wausau.
And was that a known drug house also?
Absolutely.
So we got rid of blood, well, at least we moved drugs out of that neighborhood, and we got rid of blight all in one.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. As long as I'm talking, I just wanted to point out to the audience that's in attendance, we received 6 letters from community partners, foundations, and from the community endorsing our efforts to hold TIF number 2 open for longer a period of time to accomplish our objectives, and they're totally on board with us. And just a sidelight, a while back we engaged the foundations in a meeting at City Hall and asked them if they could help us with blight elimination in our community. As you know, we're an older community and we don't have those issues like maybe Rip Mountain or Weston does, and they said they were totally on board, and if we put together a blight elimination plan, they'd be more than willing to contribute to blight elimination in our town. And so we've yet to put that plan together, but yet they are willing to be community partners and also ante up some money to help in the blight elimination effort. I think Rasmussen was next.
Thank you. I think it's also important to realize that when blighted properties that are so far gone that they are essentially hopeless for repair are removed from, you know, either whatever capacity they exist in either substandard rental or vacancy, when those properties are eliminated in a neighborhood, depending on where they're located, opportunity arises not only for either infill or replacement housing, but it also can stimulate development in an area depending on where it's located for mixed-use commercial or mixed-use residential. So it isn't necessarily guaranteeing that every home that's removed gets replaced with another house. If it's in an area where you know, a larger scale redevelopment is imminent, you know, much like we see occurring in areas of town where we've shifted our focus, we can really generate some serious tax base with mixed-use development and even with new residential properties versus what's out there today when the properties are so badly decayed.
Mr. Wagner.
Thank Thank you. I hope this also allows us to start considering that we don't have to let the houses be burned down or to be totally trashed before we see that as where our solution is. That as we continue to do these things that community development is doing, I hope that it gives us an opportunity to inspire the people that own and live in their homes that maybe we can get some kind of lower no interest loan program put together, that someone can put a coat of paint on a house, they can repair a porch, make it safer, make it better, like maybe do some landscaping. I mean, a micro loan program that someone could get during bad economic times to put some blood, sweat, and tears into their piece of property before it becomes a distressed piece of property. That's what I hope we can look forward in this also. Just my thoughts.
We have a motion by Rasmussen, second by Wagner, and you may begin voting. That motion has passed 8-1.
Last item on our agenda is for public comment and suggestions for items not appearing on the agenda. Does anybody want to speak to this? Please come forward.
Good evening. Melissa Dodder, 1003 Brown Street, and I'm also the Drug-Free Communities Program Coordinator for Marathon County, and I'm staff to the Marathon County Alcohol and Other Drug Partnership Council. Today marked a historic day. Mayor Tipple was able to attend, and some of you, if you watched the evening news, you might have seen already. We've talked a long time about the impact of alcohol on our community, the burden, the costs to each and every one of us, and today was a historic day. We actually have that information. We have a report that was recently released. I have copies of both the press release, the state snapshot, and also the local snapshot for each and every one of you. So then you have this. I believe you may have gotten this through email already, but I did bring you a printed version. We're getting a ton of press across the state. We were chosen in WASA as, you know, some leaders within the state as far as alcohol prevention goes, and we were chosen as one of the sites to do our press conference. So we had a great turnout, and again, great press out of that. So I have these for you. Just a highlight. So if you haven't seen it or heard it, excessive alcohol use in Wisconsin costs every single taxpayer about $1,200. In Marathon County, they narrow that down to $1,137 per tax, every man, woman, and child. You know, as far as how they gathered all their data, it's in further detail in the report. But just as an overview, it costs a total of $6.8 billion in the state. Locally, it's about $152 million. And in Brad Karger's portion of our press conference today, he mentioned that the whole county budget is $150 million. So if you look at that, we're spending more on the cost of excessive alcohol use in our local area. Beyond that, two other things that I have in front of me here for you, which you may, again, have also seen. So if you already have it, you don't want another one, or if you just don't want it, you won't hurt my feelings. We'll recycle them so just you can end them back over here by Ms. Rasmussen. We've got two events coming up, the first being on April 2nd for our monthly or bi-monthly AOD Partnership Council meeting. We're going to be focusing on the burden of underage drinking on our community. It is Alcohol Awareness Month as well as prom and graduation season, so it's very timely. We're going to be looking at the impact of alcohol on the teen body, teens and young adults on their adolescent brain, short and long-term outcomes. The same burdens that we're going to be talking about or that are included in this report apply to underage folks as well. So it's something new. If you're interested in that, we're also going to have a lady who's in her late 40s, I believe, early 50s, that has alcohol-induced amnesia, that she's going to be speaking. Excuse me, not amnesia, dementia. And she can trace her heavy drinking back to her teens. So she started early as well, which led to a long history of abuse. And then lastly, Healthy Marathon County, which is an umbrella organization to a number of community coalitions, is going to be having their annual spring meeting. meeting on April 19th. It's a Friday morning, and we're going to be focusing on the Real Happy Hour, which is one of our new initiatives that includes a number of different community coalitions. Simply one simple step to prevent substance abuse, obesity, teen mental health issues, and a variety of other ills that afflict our teens. So if you're interested in kind of learning about how promoting spending quality family time together, whether it's around the dinner table, biking, picnicking, playing a game, whatever it is, how that can really greatly reduce those risks. So three handouts for you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else like to speak on an issue not on the agenda? Mr. Nutting.
Thank you, Your Honor. I was wondering if Chief Hardell would be able to give us any update on the homeless shelter. Have your officers been encountering individuals that have needed that service? And anything you could share with us on how well that's going for the community?
Sure. The shelter is I think about 80% filled to capacity every night. So I know that there's around eight individuals that are using it on a regular basis, if not more, on some nights. So it clearly was a need in our community, and you know, we're glad that we can help facilitate that need.
So have you had opportunity to bring individuals there in off hours or anything that the officers have encountered?
For the most part, these individuals are going there on their own. Oftentimes, when we come in contact with an individual on the street that is in need of you know, shelter, we will guide them or transport them. But for the most part, they're attending this place on their own.
Any issues that have occurred where they've had to call for help, call for services?
No. We've had no service calls there. They've had no fights, no conflicts, no issues. It's been going really, really well and very smooth.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else like to speak to an issue?
Deborah Ryan, 702 Elm. I just wanted to mention, Ann had mentioned about some of the Fresh Start, and from my neighborhood, there's two Fresh Start homes that are beautiful, that are just south of Elm and 6th and 5th Avenue, I believe, and they have not been occupied, still are for sale over a year. And so one of the things I think the council needs to really look at is a kind of a master plan for the city, and that I don't know if you're really going to get much change in the neighborhoods if you're having one house new that's not selling that's worth $150,000 next to a home that's worth $50,000. So you may need to expand the number of homes you're looking at to really rebuild a mini part of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Nutting, second by Milkey.
Begin voting, please. Motion has passed unanimously.
Meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody, for coming, and thanks, Scouts, for staying for the whole meeting. We had a short one tonight. Thanks much, and have a drive safely.
I have to use your bicycle, I guess. Thanks. Excuse me. Oh.